Nanga Death, Mayegiba, Falun Kum, Abu Shini, I greet you all in the various tongues of the African nations. Hello and welcome. Hello and welcome. Give me some energy. I got on the airplane at 2:45 this morning to get here. So I'm exhausted, but I'm going to bring a very good program to you. Some of you all know me. Some of you all do not. I am a professor here. I'm teaching African American history as well as history for Hopkinsville Community College since 2015. And my name is Professor Anita M. Jope. Also, I have gained a new title since I moved away from the college, and the title is Mafo. Mafo means queen. So this past November, I received the title from the Fo of the Belang Kingdom. And I walk in my title as a full-fledged queen, having all rights and responsibilities, as if I was born or married into royalty. And this nation is situated in Central Africa, in a country called Cameroon. And so, as I visit, studying about the slave trade and retracing the roots for many individuals, such as myself, I retrace my roots to Cameroon. And if any of you follow me on Facebook, I'm there quite often. And so, in doing, I had the opportunity to form many partnerships with the University of Yaoundé 1, where I had the opportunity to meet our guest speaker today. This individual is a very learned man. Having several PhDs from several different universities, he teaches at the University of Yaoundé 1 and the Pan-African University. He is a mayor of his community, as well as he is an Nkunkuma. Can you say Nkunkuma? Nkunkuma means king in his native language. So without further ado, I would like to present to Hopkinsville Community College Nkunkuma Masina.
Hello.
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 I'm coming from Cameroon, and I know most of you are used to Nigerian films, so you can manage the African accent, the global African accent. It means when I speak, I do believe you will be able to get what I'm saying, since most of you are used to Nigerian films. I'm coming from Cameroon. Cameroon is an African country located in the Central African region. And I belong to the large community, Ekambeti people, which span from Cameroon to Congo via Equatorial Guinea and Gabon. So we are the people of the forest. And I will have the opportunity to detailly, I hope so, explain to you the deep significance, I mean the global symbolism of my costumery general, my general costumery. So I will have the possibility to let you get the deep significance, the deep meaning of what I have in terms of cultural symbols. I've been assigned a duty, maybe before getting into the business, the very business, I have to let you know that Cameroon is a very peculiar country, culturally speaking. And in the course of history, we met, the Portuguese. After the Portuguese, we happened to meet the Germans. And after the Germans, we met the French people and the English people. So you can understand how particular that specific complex network of cultures might be. And it means somehow, when you are Cameroonian, you are supposed to speak at least two official languages. I mean, international languages. And of course, you have to also speak native languages. And it is exactly my case. And as a Nkunkuma, I have to lead people who are not necessarily highly educated. So I mostly deal with villages, and in those villages, some people are uneducated. So I have to master the languages and the cultures of my community. It's very important. And I believe it is one of the prominent reasons why I stand here today before you. Since I have been assigned the duty to reflect within the framework of the Black History Month on a specific themes on which we can have practical interactions. It means it will not be some sort of classical lectures. So I will rely less on what I have been able to fix on these papers. I will rather share with you what is coming from the depth of my heart as an African. I propose to reflect on the theme identity and return to Africa from Gavism to African Americanism. And of course, it will be too pretentious for me to come and try to teach people on a good number of things concerning America in general and African Americans in particular. And why Gavi? The question might also be put to me. Why Gavi when we know there are too many vibrant and high-ranking leaders who fought for the liberation of African Americans, for the establishment of restoration of human rights and human dignity, globally speaking. And we do also know that if we are to assess the moral profile or the political effectiveness of Gavi's action, he will not be elected or selected as the boss that can stand as the model, given that he prominently proposed and promoted the go back to Africa issue. The go back to Africa issue, the go back to Africa as an option that was aiming at disconnecting African Americans from the United States of America and allow them to get back to Africa, pretending that Africa must necessarily be a safer home since Africa is a black or the black continent as classically or commonly labeled. That is why we opted to focus the reflection on him, as not for us to promote what wasn't good in his cultural and political offer, but rather to assess the ineffectiveness of that proposal and let you clearly understand what identity is all about as an assemblage of variables, which are cultural variables, political variables, economic variables, meaning by variables, practical reality relating to day-to-day life. It means, in a very simple words, you people, I mean precisely African Americans, were born in America. This is my stance. You were born in America, which means you are Americans. You are Americans, first and foremost. Second of all, you are African Americans. You are Americans and you are African Americans. That is part of your identity. It cannot be erased. It cannot be suppressed. It is not possible. And what I will try to let you get in terms of the cultural supplement that can be productively added to what you are, to what you have in terms of your fundamental identity, is the reconnection to Africa. Reconnection to Africa, which means there is a portion of your identity which is lacking. The portion of your identity which is lacking should be inserted, productively inserted and capitalized for you to have a complete identity and to be full, to be who you are. So, to get it very, very clearly, identity as an assemblage of attributes, cultural attributes, economic attributes, political attributes, economic attributes, it means you do not define in a particular political way your identity. You cannot have the possibility to define in a particular economic way your identity. It is an heritage. It is an heritage which connects you to the global environment in which you are living. And you people were born in America. So once again, you are Americans and you are African Americans because African Americans do have a specific history. There is a narrative, or there are narratives, specific political narratives, specific cultural narratives, which determines the very contents of the identity of African Americans as fundamentally Americans. And the lacking portion of your identity, which must be negotiated, is in Africa. So if we are positing the necessity to get that portion, the missing portion of your identity, it's not a matter of abandoning what you have, what you have already earned by the grace of God. You should see it that way. By the grace of God, you have been able to go through a good number of political challenges, a good number of cultural challenges, economic challenges, social challenges. But now, the issue is, in terms of what I term the situation room or the state of affairs, you have been able to benefit from the political, cultural, and economic investment of a good number of fundamental African-American leaders who fought for your liberation, for mankind liberation, since at some point the fight, the good fight, engaged and carried out cannot be limited in the internal sphere of the United States of America. And you do agree with me that leading figures like Martin Luther King, those leading figures do not any longer belong to the United States of America solely. They are part of the world heritage in terms of symbols of commitment and determination. So when you have it in the situation room, the problem is the leaders have been able to productively invest, and we got a good number of political dividends in terms of acknowledgement of human rights, in terms of global amelioration of the situation. And at some point, it is as if there is no need again to keep on working in the sense of sensitizing and letting people believe and know clearly that it's not just a matter of black is beautiful. Now black has already managed to be very, very beautiful. Black should manage to convert its beauty into for the common actions of common prosperity, of commonalities, of engagements. The situation rooms, it means those who are emerging, I mean the younger ones, are not informed about what has been invested in the past for them to benefit from the fruit of that past investment. And those who are very conscious of the situation keep on working to erase, to suppress the past. Let me put it very, very clearly. For us to clearly understand that I'm not running some sort of campaign of racism. My stand is, and that will be the last articulation, it is time for us to acknowledge. It is time for us to acknowledge the necessity for each one of us to take the necessary oath and commitment for the situation to change. What do I mean by change? For us Africans, I mean, let's start with the those who are commonly known as the well-established enslavers, the fundamental Westerners who organize everything in terms of promotion of slavery and whatsoever we can imagine. Okay, it is what we have been analyzing. It is what we have been criticizing. And there are major leaders, as I said just a while ago, who managed to address the issue with more efficiency, with more commitment, and more determination. But we have another particular role to play. Enslavers are still around, in the US as well as in Africa. Enslavers are still around. And the dominant culture is that of enslavers. And enslavers are now working in another sphere to psychologically paralyze the minds of those who have benefited from the dividends of the past investment of the vibrant leaders. It is at the level of the mind. So youths are prevented from knowing who they are, or they are prevented from fighting the good fight of pursuing the process of decolonizing their own mind, as well as decolonizing the minds of those who are investing in the global process of enslavement. That is the first issue. The other issue is, some of us Africans, we tend to say, okay, we were not part of it, we were not part of the enslavement process, so we are not concerned at all. Because even when people from our community happened to be enslaved, it was under pressure. We did it under pressure. No, that's not the most important for us. Now, as the king of the Ekambeti people, community, I know our responsibility is to come to you as I'm coming to meet you, to first and foremost apologize to you, consciously or not. Africans of the continents have been involved in the process. And for the total liberations, once you have acknowledged, we have managed to acknowledge it, we set ourselves free, and we bless you more. When we apologize to you, we set you free, and we restore you. And to be more concrete, the truth of the matter is this. Most of those who are, I mean, African Americans in the US, they do believe Africa is a single nation lost somewhere. They do not know. It's a matter of 54 independent countries. 54 independent countries. Africa is bigger than the U.S. combined with Europe, combined with China, and many more countries. Yeah. Really? The map you usually see is a very fake map. The true dimensions are not respected. Have you heard about the Democratic Republic of Congo? Not yet. 2.5 million kilometers square. I don't know how do you, when you convert it, yeah. 2.5 million kilometers square. A single nation. And France, do you know France? 638,000 kilometers square. It means it will absorb France four times. Yeah. And France represents 60% of the European Union. I mean 16% of the European Union. You see what it means? 16% of the European Union. Meaning the Democratic Republic of Congo represents more than 60% of the European Union in terms of space. So very, very important. And, yeah.
That's 1,553,427,000 miles.
Miles, good. Mm-hmm. And Mali is not far, not really far from that, Mali. And there are always political struggle where you have a lot of resources. So that's another business. So I was saying we have opted within the framework of the activities we have been carrying out, within the activities we have been carrying out with the African Roots and Heritage Foundation to propose a new model of what I label the new African-Americanism. The new African-Americanism, meaning unlike the psychological and political stand of Mark Ugazve, you do not need to disconnect yourself from America, since you are an American and you are an African-American. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, the portion that is lacking in your identity should be restored, should be recuperated, and the responsibility is yours. And I'm happy to know that a good number of people have opted to go through the process of a DNA test. And after knowing exactly to which part of Africa you belong, fundamentally, culturally, we do welcome you. And we are working to establish the African-American African Roots and Heritage Foundation everywhere, starting from the Republic of Cameroon. And once you are there, we will connect you to a specific kingdom, meaning you'll go right to the village. And there is an initiation, there is a process of initiation you should go through, and you should not be, be embarrassed. It's rather quite interesting that portion which is lacking. Initiation means knowing how the African society is organized in terms of cultures, in terms of habits, in terms of knowing how things are being run in the different kingdoms. Since the society is well organized, really stratified, women's have specific roles in the society, youths have specific roles in the society, and it's the global restoration process that we really propose. So globally, my stand is to come and reclaim you. And once you are connected, you can do whatever you want to do. And maybe during your period of vacation, you can go to Africa, spend a month, 2 or 3 months, and get back to America. Since America belongs to you, Africa belongs to you. It means at the end of the business, you will have the most interesting identity, given that you are the most resilient people on earth, as you are the most beautiful and the strongest. It has already been clearly established. So you have to recuperate the missing portion of your identity. It is the message I brought for you. It is an alliance that should be established covenant, and we are ready. We are working to that effect for you not to be frustrated. All the different actions that should be carried out are being carried out. So, Anita, I think I had 30 minutes, something like that. Maybe the second part will be the most interesting, since I cannot be talking alone. I'm quite sure there are people who have specific preoccupation, and I can have the possibility to precisely respond to those preoccupations.
Thank you, Nkunkuma. Let's give a hand. I would just like to say on identity, if you don't know who you are, you cannot function as the best person. So it's important to understand identity and how you relate to the world and the world relates to you. A fully formed, knowledgeable individual is the best individual to give to the community. When a person lacks his identity, lacks his self-awareness, lacks self-development, they tend to be a menace to the community. So the message today is to know yourself. And if you have to take a DNA test to go back to your roots, be it in Africa, be it in Asia, or be it in Europe, United States has made a melting pot of people from all over the world. So I ask everyone to do a discovery of themselves. I would like John and or Ken to come up and open up the floor for questions. I'm quite sure you all have questions about his speech, about his garment. Feel free to ask questions.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed it. Well, I know maybe there's some questions percolating out there, and I don't want to dominate the microphone. I want you to speak.
Yeah.
So please raise your hand, and I'll come and bring you the microphone.
Okay, thank you very much. I thank you very much for the questions. As I tried to highlight it just a while ago, there is a very important work that has been done by the former leaders, or the very first inspirational and vibrant our leaders. So it was necessary to rebrand the identity, reformatting the mind and the psychology of black people. It was absolutely important. And you are right. It wasn't easy in the past. And even in the French or Francophone system, it was exactly in the Caribbean, the same situation. Negroes, and they tried to recuperate what was thrown at them as insults, transforming those words and into specific label, rebranding those words. And it simply means the process is continuous. It's a continuous process, and it's very, very good. Even in the world of industry, when you have a product and there is a product cycle, at some point you should be able to assess how far you have gone with the sustainability of the products. And if there is need to rebrand the products, you can rebrand the products. And the label African Americans seems to fit more than the president's labels, which have been mobilized in a very particular a political context, cultural context, which was really hard. And Negro, blacks, all those terms were transformed and productively used by African Americans themselves as to maybe give another dimension to their being by accepting who they are. That's exactly what was promoted. I mean, I can even say preached by Malcolm X and all those leaders. So it was absolutely important. And progressing and reaching the level of African Americans is also very, very important. That is why I say the baton should be passed to the younger generations who have not to believe that the fight is done. It's not a matter of taking weapons and going to wage war against a specific community. It's a matter of continuously rebranding the African-American community psychologically, culturally, politically, economically. It's very, very important. That's what I personally believe. It's quite interesting, since if you choose your name, if you choose your name yourself, it's more interesting than a given name to you that you will just manage. So it's a sign of responsibility. It's a sign of authority, independence. The sign of strength.
Thank you.
I just wanted to add on the changing identity, it is a point of growth.
Yeah.
As African Americans or Africans in this land, each period of time or each change, we notice a change in the entire body. So when we come to African American, it is a realization of us having African blood,
yeah,
but American nationality.
Yeah.
And it was W.E.B. Du Bois who said that we have the double consciousness. And so within the double consciousness, we recognize our roots and we recognize where we currently,
yeah,
live.
Yeah. Of course.
That's a softball question.
Of course. My traditional attire is called Obom. 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 It's the bark of a tree. It's the bark of a tree. As you can see, it's the bark of a tree. So it's not any type of wrapper. It's the bark of a tree. It's called Obom. And symbolizing protection. Protection. Yeah, spiritual protection, strength. And for us Africans, we do believe the most interesting connection a human being can have, it is with trees. Yeah, with trees, yeah. The tree is the most livable being in the universe, communicating with the entire nature and living in the three dimensions, the three fundamental dimensions. You have the roots, you have the leaves, and of course, you have the body of the tree. And apart from the back of the tree, which is the obon, these particular essences of trees or wood essences, and you have some of them, the bubinga, you have the ebony, you have ebony, you have the bubinga, symbolizing solidity, strength, and protection, and seeds of The lion also have protection and strength. So ferocious animals symbolizes strength, power, authority. And that is why most of national African national themes are labeled after ferocious animals' names. You have the lions, Indomitable lions of Cameroon. You have the leopards. You have lions of Teranga for Senegal. The lions of the Atlas for Morocco. So you have the panthers of Gabon. The metaphors of the animal metaphors is always emerging. So for us in Africa, it is very, very important to establish that direct connection with nature, and believe that nature should be protected, since nature also gives us life and gives us the possibility to prosper, depending on how we are connected to it and how we use it. So nature, when we are violent, will also be affected by our violence. And you know very well the different form of violence is we are always perpetrating against the nature. That is why Professor Anita can also tell you, in the feminist studies, women are in a better place to protect nature and promote the interests of the nature, since there is some sort of a twin domination that the woman and the nature do suffer against men.
Dr. Dale Lenderman.
Thank you, sir, for being here today. Very interesting. Appreciate your message. Many years ago, I found myself in the midst of a coup d'etat in Africa.
Yeah.
And I'm here. I made it through. But my question to you is why, and things, because I understand it, are much safer over there now and much better in Africa. But why is there so much battling, and what can be done to try to bring more?
Thank you very much for your questions. The truth of the matter is, as I said, it's exactly the same process. We are not any longer maybe treating with the fundamental slavers, but enslavers are still around. Colonizers are still around. And colonizers and slavers are not only in the in America or in Europe. They are also in Asia, in Africa. And the process is this. We will have focal points in Africa, focal points that will promote the interests of enslavers, and they will be given the necessary financial and political means when they promote and defend the interests of those who have assigned them the duty to carry out those coup d'etat. And it's a very important and very interesting question. That is why, when you look at it very closely, you will realize that most of those who are promoting modern forms of enslavement will rather be talking about human rights. I'm not saying that it's not interesting to promote and protect human rights. It's really quite interesting. But for us, coming from Africa, if you look at it very closely, you will realize that the most important issues that have to do with human rights are not even addressed by those promoters of human rights. They will rather promote particular ways of organizing couples, marriages, and all the rest of the businesses. When you in Africa, most know that 40% of the economy is sustained by agriculture. And the agricultural activities carried out are not in the modern form of agricultural activities. So it's a simple, simple classical form of agriculture that continue to sustain the whole continent. And when you see a modern sales labor coming, they will rather access land massively because they know what they will get, not in terms of just agriculture, but also what is beneath under, and that they will access. And naturally, they will rather give the necessary financial resources to specific cliques of people to wage war, knowing that once they access power, they will hand to them the entire economic, the entire nation, economically speaking. And when you read Celestus Juma, which in Land We Trust, it's a very, very outstanding book, In Land We Trust, instead of promoting what he called institutional constitutions in Africa, we should rather promote programmatic constitutions, meaning programmatic constitutions are prominently economic constitutions. So the economic aspect should be emphasized, more emphasized than the political aspect relating to useless issues of human rights, which are not properly addressed. Get me very, very clearly. I'm not against human rights promotion and protection, but what I'm saying is those coup d'etat, you can change the constitutions when you align with enslavers. There is no problem. You can endlessly change the constitution, amend it as you want. The number of mandates and tenure, they will be elected. Even if you are not even elected by the population, enslaver will elect you and establish you there. And they are not coming from Africa. They are coming from those dominant culture where nations do know exactly what democracy is all about. But they would rather be promoting counter values, which do not have anything to do with democracy. That is what justify the current manifestation of a coup d'etat in Africa. So if you align yourself with the population, if you promote the interests of the population, you will be marginalized, you will be suppressed. So we are working hard, we are fighting hard to ensure that the situation is really changing, and it's exactly the case. You heard about Mali, you heard about Burkina Faso. So there are some coup d'etats now which are more interesting than in the past. So the new tendency is that there are new leaders emerging who can perpetrate coup d'etat, not as a direct consequence of the Western instrumentalization, but as the commitment of their population and the whole country. That's what the whole business is all about. And what must be done is the necessary connection will lead us to the necessary sustainable stability, and naturally we can carry out economic activities. And let me tell you, Cameroon is very, very stable and peaceful. Even if the head of state is there, has always been there. But we are very, very stable. Recently, he was here in the U.S., President Paul Biya.
Oh, mm-hmm. I think we have one more question here.
Good afternoon. Again, thank you for being here. My question is, most of the time on television, when they show Africa, Native white, they always show the parts of famine and starvation. My question is, can you enlighten us that Africa is still a vibrant nation with kings and queens?
Thank you very much for your preoccupation. It is very, very important. You can see in the international spheres there are what is called in political science and international relations clients or customers nations, clients or customers nation, and patrons or boss nation. It means depending on the economic and political power of a nation, once it is in relation, politically speaking, within the framework of a specific cooperation agreement, they will impose what they want. And once you highlight misery, once you highlight poverty, it will become more interesting, and they will see you as coming to aid those who will never be able to make it. And in the global interaction between the West and Africa, we'll realize that fundamentally, when you go through economic history books, the West has never won Africa to emerge economically and impose itself as a vibrant economic continent. It is rather the theory of what they call ghost actors. Ghost actors. It simply means Africa should be regarded as a vast plantation, belonging to the West. And curiously, even cash crops which are cultivated will never be transformed, they will never be processed in Africa up till now. Cameroon, as well as a good number of African countries, Ghana, Cote d'Ivoire, cocoa producers, very, very powerful cocoa producers. But how do we manage to access chocolate once transformed? It's not very easy at all. But if you see the price of 1 kilogram of cocoa, you will be really surprised to realize that it is a very, very embarrassing business in terms of inequality, in terms of asymmetry. So the truth of the matter is, when you are opportune to go to Africa, you will realize that it is not that conundrums with the prominent narratives of coup d'etat, poverty, misery. In November, I happened to attend an international conference in Freetown, Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone, as you know, Sierra Leone with Liberia, they are the two specific African countries in which the returnees, the fundamental returnees, were sent back from America to Sierra Leone and Liberia. And that is why Liberia, very, very long time in the past, earned independence. And when you see what is going on in Ethiopia. Ethiopia was branded as the most miserable country in the world some decades ago, maybe 20 decades ago. And Ethiopia is one of the most interesting countries in the world, not in Africa, in the world. Economically speaking, political stability, even if you hear about wars, there are specific factions waging war, which is normal in this history of people and communities. So once you go there, you'll be really surprised. To tell you the truth, since I've received the call, let us put it that way, since I received the call, when I got the inner conviction that I was to rule, since initially I wasn't that interested. But when I received the call, everything changed in me. And I could only go to the West for a training program and get back home. And once I'm done with what I have to do, let me tell you that, I just rush back home. I feel secure. I can walk in the forest. Yeah. I can go to my plantations and live another life. talk other languages, deep languages in which I can express my inner feelings. Not the French, English, no. It's a deep feeling when I interact with my communities. To tell you the truth, when you will start going to Africa, every year you'll manage to have a very stable settlement, and it will be the most interesting and the most important moment of your life. The most interesting and the most important moment of your life. It's a quite different business. It is true. Let me tell you, I cannot... I'm not supposed to lie. A king cannot lie. It's not normal. There are challenges. Of course, there are challenges. You cannot have the same level of development. It is true. South Africa is doing very, very well in terms of infrastructure and everything. Egypt and there are many countries, Morocco, North Africa, and even Nigeria, doing very, very well in terms of infrastructure of all sorts. There are a lot of challenges, but when you go to Africa, you will change your mindset totally. You will totally change your mindset. It will not be the narratives of the media. The narrative of the media is just a direct consequence of the global instrumentalization that is going on everywhere. As it's exactly the case between within the framework of inter-individual relations. If I hurt you, I will try to mobilize the masses against you, emphasizing the negative aspect of your life. And I will never focus on the most important and the numerous positive characteristics and virtues that characterize your personality. I will rather focus, it's exactly what is happening with most African nations. And once you try to disconnect yourself from the system of the global enslavers and colonizers, They will start now blackmailing you, political, international blackmailing system. So they will tell you you are a dictator, you were not elected, democratically speaking, and many other stuff of the sort.
Thank you.
I have a question. Yeah. I'll just make a statement.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, when people say various African leaders were elected as a president,
yeah,
and they overstay their term.
Yeah.
And in the West, they're usually labeled as a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
But when you understand African culture, when a king takes reign, he reigns until his death. So even though the democratic system may have been put in place in the various African countries, Africans regard that elected quote-unquote president as the king, and that is why the people do not make any move to have that person move out of the place of the president, because it's like the king is untouchable, the president is untouchable, and that is why they allow him to continue to reign.
Mm-hmm. And if you are doing good, it's very, very well.
No. I also have to note the time. I know I'm a teacher, so I know some of you need to get to class. But this conversation is getting interesting, so I invite you to stay. If
In Kukumar, my question was more so for, I guess, the youth, how you said to in life, something I tell my children is we have to unlearn and relearn. I talk a lot about self-mastery.
Yeah.
For a program society, which we live in, how would you expect the youth to unlearn, because the people that are raising them are programmed, you know what I'm saying? So they're teaching all these programmed traits.
Yeah.
So in order for the youth to unlearn and relearn, how would they go about doing so in this programmed world that we live in?
Yeah. Very, 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 very good question. Very, very, very good question. That is the very essence of what I call, in this specific context, the new African Americanisms. The issue is, what are we doing now as African Americans? When I came in, I heard that most African American families are, most of African American families' children are brought up without any father presence around in most situations. So are there specific programs we should address those issues? Are there programs aiming at giving them the possibility to feel living in a very protected environment with the presence of a father and a mother, even if it is not the case? So there are actions that should be carried out at the level of the U.S. and specifically the USA and specifically in the African-American community to ensure that the baton is being passed for those children not to be brought up as numbskulls, for them not to be aiming at joining gangs. There are specialized programs that should be conceived, that should be drafted out to aid those families. And in the specific programs, training session should also be aiming at reviving the conscience of the collective conscience of the community, for them to know how far we have been able to go, the challenges we have been able to address and to overcome so far. It should be done. They should not. You are lucky to have a vibrant history that should survive, that should be protected. They should know about the fights of those fundamental leaders we're talking about, and what is to be added to what has already been done in terms of productive amendment for a new model of society management. That is the point. And we are also coming with the supplementary portion of your identity, which is missing for us to ensure that in those programs, they are not brought up only as Americans, but also and precisely as African-Americans and as Africans, to know exactly who they are, to know exactly who they are, to renew the completeness of their identity. So to me, it's very, very important. And if you question those youths, you will be surprised to realize that they do not even know the history of America, and they do not, of course, know the history of African-American communities, which is at the very core of the American society prosperity. So they should be taught that the prosperity of this nation carries the investments of the forefathers. And they will feel themselves, they will see themselves in a quite different, from a quite different angles. They should be taught that they are heroes. If they have been able to survive so far, they are heroes. And they should be celebrated. Heroes are to be celebrated. That's what should be done.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was in the demolition for me. you know, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I chose not to do it. I just did. But whatever. But mm-hmm. my identity became more, look, we're all connected yeah. together. That's yeah. what I was taught in church.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Remember that little child song, All the Children of the World, Black and White, Yellow and Brown, all mm-hmm. that? We're all the same. That was kind of my religion. That was my identity, and it still is. So we have to carry on, and Tommy, you know this, you do that with the law and things like that. We have to stand up for what we feel is right. There's a lot of crap going on these days, and we still have to be there for everybody who needs us. And we all need each other. I'm an African American.
Good. That's wonderful.
Want to thank for the questions and the wonderful answers. We could go on forever, but Dr. Verdell Larkin is going to close things yeah. up yeah. and tie it up all in a neat bow, or else I don't know what.
So, my mama right
yeah.
And thank you for coming to HCC today for this event. I don't know if I got this in here right. In the words of Marcus Garvey, and I quote, "A people without knowledge of their past, history, origin, and culture is like a tree without roots." Was that too deep for you? Okay. A tree without roots does what? It dies. So we need to know who we are, where we came from, so maybe we can figure out where we're going. On behalf of the community, we are thankful for those who seek to expand our understanding of other cultures and their contributions to civilization. African history has been a political football in less enlightened places. It even still is today in the United States. I won't mention any states. Okay. The search for truth will go on and emerge from these attacks probably stronger than before. We must be steadfast and vigilant in our search for knowledge and truth. His Majesty has enlightened and uplifted us today. I encourage you to find out your roots. I have a daughter who is very interested in it, and I know that my people are from Cameroon, Nigeria, Ghana, and Wales. Okay. Okay. And she's gotten back as far as 1300, so okay. Thank you, Professor Jope, who is also one of my office suites, was, and Don, my son, okay. We were all in the, you know, working in the same little cubicle area, so we share a lot of conversations. But thank you, and I want to thank the HCC staff, all those people that I saw today, for making this Black History Month an event that was possible. So thank you to the community for coming out and supporting us as well. Thank you.